Chapter 14, Luke. It's real hard to understand. It's real easy to misunderstand. The reason that it's real hard to understand is because people don't want to. The reason it's real easy to understand or easy to misunderstand is because people want to. So, having said that, I want to talk today about what is Christianity? What is it? Because the churches have not always been clear as to what Christianity is. And I'm not really criticizing or anything. I just want to analyze it. I want to look at it. Christianity is not a get out of jail free card, so you can live in sin and then go to heaven because you believe in Jesus. That's what the church is. If they don't teach it, that's what the people believe. Is if you go to church and get baptized and do a few things, you're pretty much okay. So if that were true, if that were what Christianity was, then it's a travesty. And Jesus paid a heavy price so that people could keep sinning and then just think that God was real friendly at the end and let you in. How many know that sounds good? That sounds good to a flesh person. To a flesh person, that sounds good. Let me live in the flesh and then at the last minute jump ship and get into the heaven thing. But that is not what Jesus taught, so I'm going to demolish that view that Christianity is not a get-out-of-jail-free card. It's like, well, I messed up my life, so try Jesus. It might help out. That's a great idea, though. I mean, that's remarkable. A remarkable idea. I think Satan thought that one up. I think Satan, and I believe the flesh likes that idea. But Jesus said, come unto me, not to get a get-out-of-jail-free card. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. So I don't think keeping sinning is resting. Being selfish is not resting. The abundant life is not sinning as much as you can and then you get to go to heaven later. That's really not the abundant life. So it's hard for people today to go to a church and you're not going to hear the truth. Now, they won't dress it up the way I just put it. They'll say something like this. Hey, be all you can be. Fulfill yourself. Be a true person. Be fulfilled. What? That sounds like that's a good thing. You know, you've been messed up before. Here's a good way. Get wealthy, healthy, have your family, everything. Get it all fixed up. Well, that's not Christianity. But that'll sell. I know that'll sell. That's how you get the big churches. That's why I have a little one. I got the wrong message. If I'd get a better message, I could be a little more successful. But unfortunately, I have a bad message to the flesh. And in fact, the flesh doesn't like my message. In fact, people who are in the flesh will actually leave. In fact, I want them to go. Because that means they understood. Oh, you understood well. Yeah. When you come unto Jesus, you're not coming unto a lawgiver. Hooray, hooray, everybody says. But neither are you coming unto a Savior who just doesn't care about the law. But that's what most people think. As well, good, we don't have to do the law. Now we can just get saved and live like hell all the way to heaven. No, that is not true. That he actually came to change your life, and if you don't want a total life change, if you don't want to give up your life and totally, you misunderstood totally. Now, I know most people do not come that way. Most people come because they're sick, maybe they get a little healing, get a free sample here and there, and that's okay. I'm not against that. You can get in that way. But That certainly is not what Christianity is all about. It's just, you know, walking on water and getting your parking place by the Holy Spirit and, you know, fixing your marriage up and so on and so forth. You can do that in the world. You don't even need Jesus for that. You actually can get a lot of that just from Buddha or Hinduism or any kind of disciplined life. So, I have to say all this because otherwise when I say the words, and I know you believe me, I don't doubt that you believe me, but you won't understand what I say even when you understand what I say. So if I say discipleship is what it's all about, and discipleship is always to your death. Now you see, if I would teach the other, I would teach, believe on Jesus who died. That would be a good message for the flesh. And that's how we start out too. Jesus died for me, forgave me all my sins, I don't have to be under the law. That's the end for most churches. But they don't go on to say, the reason he died for me and the reason that he put away the law was so that I could have not the life I now have and get it richer, but be dead. And I know that doesn't sound like good news. That does not sound like good news. But death is your greatest asset. If you learn to die to yourself, don't live for yourself, don't enrich yourself, don't fulfill yourself, which is what TCU is all about, the whole world. But if the opposite is the truth, and it is, that actually your best days are after you're dead. Your best days are after your death. Now, I'm not talking physical death. I'm talking psychological death. Soul, the sanctification of your soul. But it's not just to improve you. You might think, well, yeah, just to improve my soul. No, 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 it's not to improve you, it's to kill you. The only way to improve you is to kill you. Now, again, that does not sound good. But I don't care if it sounds good or not. It's what Jesus said. And I'm not really going to try to explain it so you'll like it. I'm just going to tell you what it says, why it's good news to me. My death, best thing that ever happened to me. I'm glad Jesus died for me so that I'd have a good example of how to die. Well, do I have to get up on a cross and physically die? No. Jesus did that. So it's not spiritual. I don't have to die that way. Believing that he died for me, that's my spiritual death. But now I need a soulish death to add to my spiritual death. So I can't add anything to Jesus dying on the cross. There's no way I can pay for my sins or keep the law or be a good person. I know all that. So that part, that's good that people recognize that. But the reason that he did that was so you could go into the kingdom. Not later, but immediately. You could start walking in the kingdom of God. Now again, nobody's going to argue with me, but it's not what the churches teach. And I'm not criticizing them. I'm just saying, I'm right, they're wrong. And I could say every church, but I can't say every church. But I'll just say the majority. But it could be a super majority. Because I don't think the message is really being taught clearly, decisively, or it's just a bunch of words and it's not really being done. We don't really have dead churches that are full of dead people. Jesus said, take up your cross. Now why didn't he say, I took up my cross? He did. If that was the gospel, he should have said, I took up my cross. Well, we know he did. We know he did that. So why does he say, take up your cross? Why is that good news? Why would anyone be interested in that? Take up my what? Your cross. It's like, well, I don't know. That doesn't sound cool. That doesn't sound neat. That doesn't sound like life. That does not sound like abundant life. But I'm going to prove to you out of the Bible and out of my own life, or your life. I could use anybody's life. That your death is what he's after. The only reason he died was so you could die. The only reason that he ended his life was to show you something. He didn't just do that so you could live like hell and have a get out of jail free card at the end. He did that to show you something about himself, how it is in the kingdom of God. Forget what he did for us. He did it for us. But forget that. What he did was to show us something about himself and the Father. When Jesus was on the earth, he never did his own will. That is death. Never did his own will. He denied himself. What does it mean? That means that's what he thought his self was all about, was not living by himself. He thought the purpose of his self, his soul, his life, was to live for others underneath another and never by his own law, his own will. So if you give up your law, everybody makes one up. If you give up your will, your law, your kingdom, and trade it in for his, well, that's another way of doing it. Now, Buddha does not make you do that. He does make you suffer, but you actually don't have to die to be a Buddhist. You don't have to actually give up your will. You actually can still be in the flesh. So the Hindu, Buddhist, Muslim, even Jewish as it's practiced, forget the theory that Moses put out. The Jewish people today are not following Moses' theory. They're just doing their own thing, and they want self-fulfillment. They don't want to die. They don't want to accept Jesus. They don't want to accept God's kingdom way. They want to do it their own way. They want to be the ones being righteous. They want to establish their own righteousness. They want to feel good about themselves. Hey, you know, we're the chosen. Yeah, that means chosen to die first. That's what that means. Oh, we've been anointed by God. Good. What that means is you're the first servants. You're the first ones that don't have a will of your own. You're the first ones that don't care about suffering or anything else because you trust God. You're the first. So the Jewish people have led us astray, and the Christian church, like fools, have followed the Jewish pattern. One sheep going over the cliff, another sheep going right over the cliff after. And so the church today is a mess because we want to live rather than die. The good news is not that Jesus died, it's that you died. I'll say that again. The good news is not that Jesus died, it's that you die. Now, again, nobody likes that message. They don't want to hear those words. That's in the Bible. I didn't make it up. Jesus is saying, come unto me. Come unto me. To do what? To do what? To take his free gift? Yeah, but his free gift is not to have your own soul anymore. Give up your soul. All right, I'll read it now, so I'll get into it, and then I can give you 100 scriptures if you want. 100 scriptures. I can give you 100 scriptures. I got them. I've memorized them, so I don't even have to write them down on a piece of paper. I got them. Because I know that everything that he ever said was because he loved you, for God so loved the world. I know he's loved you, so he said, here's the best thing for you. Stop living your own life. Best thing for you is take up your cross and follow me. Best thing for you is a disciple, when he's fully taught, he will be like his master. That was Jesus. He was the first master. He still is. And the way he lived is the way you should live on earth. As in heaven, up above the line, so on earth, down below the line. In heaven? No. Of course we're going to live like heaven in heaven. But it's to live like heaven on earth. As in heaven, so on earth. As it is in heaven, let it so be on earth through you and me. That's what that prayer is saying, not as it is in heaven, so it shall be on earth. Jesus came down and died. No, 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 no. It's as in heaven, so on earth, as it is right now with Jesus sitting up there on the throne. And he's giving out these presents. Here they are pouring out from his hand. So I drew three gifts, three presents up on the board. First one is the law. You say, well, Jesus didn't give that law. Well, that's true, he didn't. But he lived it. Oh, well, what good is that law? Well, it's still good. Because it condemns your flesh, yourself. Now, the Jewish people used the law, and they were so tricky. They used the law, which was meant to kill them, to actually keep them alive. That was so clever of them. That was clever. It basically said, hi, I love you, die. And they were able to turn it into, don't die, kill Jesus. That was cool. So they took that which was meant to be their own death, so they would not have their own will. They would not be a nation like any other nation. They would be unique. They would be different. They would be a nation that didn't do its own will, didn't feel its own feelings, didn't think its own thoughts, didn't do its own deeds. It would be a nation that would be like heaven on earth, a light to the Gentiles. But instead, they were able craftily, I don't know how smart they figured this out, how to use the law that was meant to kill them to actually keep themselves alive. They are clever people. I don't know if we're that smart. Are we that smart? Do we know how to use the gospel just to talk about Jesus and forget the part about our dying? Kind of forget that as though that was not part of it. How many know that you don't want to hear that part? I mean, something inside of you doesn't want to hear that part. Let's hear the part about Jesus one more time. Go over it again. Jesus loves me this. Let's go over that one again and again and again. But that's just the beginning. First, you repent of being your own God, running things your own way. That is the first thing. The church has forgotten that. I don't think there's a lot of repentance in the church. Not a lot of weeping over sins. There's not a lot of crying. There's not a lot of agonizing. There's not a lot of conviction and deep cutting. I just don't see it. What I see is people wanting to have their bodies healed. People wanting their mouths filled. People wanting their marriages and relationships fixed up. I just see the, you know, all the stuff that the whole world wants. That's what it seems to be the church is into, is big church, big Sunday school, big bowling alleys, big Starbucks, big everything, big. You know, I don't know why they'd come to a church like this. We don't have any of those things. No stained glass windows. No baptismal font. Not even a cross on the wall. We don't even have a choir. It's awful here. It's just terrible because all you get here is Jesus. Bare, raw Jesus. Nothing interesting. No frosting. No, nothing sweet. It's bitter in the mouth. It goes in bitter. And you just eat it. But then later, it turns sweet. Whereas the other ministries, they give you sweet stuff. Here you go, sweetheart. Ooh, that tastes good. Give me more. But it turns bitter later. Too much sweets will hurt you. How many know that you get too much sweets in you? That's not going to be good. Now, I know Jesus is good news, but the good news is your death. So Jesus is inviting everyone to come to him, not so he can save them, so that he can save them out of the world unto himself, so that he can kill you, so that then he can use you. Now, this is that latter part that the other churches skip over, because they want to keep their life. I mean, anything to preserve my life. Now, natural preservation is a good thing, but psychological preservation is a bad thing, because your self, your soul, your will, your mind, your emotions, your memory, all that stuff, your imagination, all that stuff that makes up you, your personality, your person, all of that has to die. So that you go like this. I don't want to think what I think. I want to think what God thinks. I don't want to feel what I feel. I want to feel what God feels. I don't want to will what I will. I want to will His will. That's the way it is. That's called death. That's all that death means. Death doesn't mean anything except that. It doesn't mean Jesus' death. It means yours. So take up your cross. Carry your own cross. That means every day don't physically die. I'm not talking about natural preservation. We're talking, no. This is something you get while you're alive. A living, dying person. That every day you are sanctified, made unto Christ so that you're Christ-like. Now, how many know that we're not? That's okay. I don't really care that people are not. All I care about is you know you're not supposed to be living your own life. I don't care how you're doing. I'm not giving you a grade on how far along you are. I'm only interested, does anybody even know what the test is all about, what the class is all about, what the lesson's all about? Is it your death that God is after? And trouble after trouble after trouble after trouble can beat people down and they still don't get it. Is, I wonder why God sent that to me. Didn't want you to have any fun? Didn't want you to have any happiness? He might have sent that to you to end your self-will, your self-rule, your happiness in money, your happiness in health, your happiness in, relationships. That's where we put, everything. Health and wealth, relationships, economy and the world fixed up and all this stuff. Well, that's not where God is. That is not why the kingdom of God came to earth, was to fix up the earth. It's actually to destroy it, because it's already self-destructing. If this world were heaven, he wouldn't come down. There's no need to come down if everything's going fine and he just needs to come down and patch you a little bit. Hey, here, you got this a little wrong here. There you go. You're on your way. Goodbye. No, he doesn't want to fill up a little air in your tire. He wants to demolish your whole vehicle. Get out of that car right now. It's about to explode. all I wanted was air in my tire. I just had a little flat. I just wanted, maybe 5 pounds. I didn't want, I want the Methodist version of just put a little air in there. I want the Presbyterian version, 7 pounds. And so the religion of the world today keeps you together. And Jesus is just a little added pie on it. Something nice to make sure it's not as bad as it could be otherwise. No, God wants to completely end your life. Now, I'm going to say this about a billion times today, but the good news is your death. No, I want you to say it so that you're with me now. The good news is my death. See, that's powerful. Now, let's say it again. Just get used to it. The good news is my death. Okay, let's just do one. The good news is my death. In other words, I don't get to will what I will. I will what he wills. That's what Jesus did. I don't get to feel what I feel. I have to feel what he says. Rejoice always. I have to rejoice always. I don't want to. I don't want to, but the new I do. So I need to kill the old I and let the new I live. Did you see that? Because I don't want to rejoice always. I don't want to rejoice. Not in this situation. Not at this time. Yeah, well, when is it you're going to? Well, when things get fixed up. We have to kill you to change that. Because we want you to live in the real world where there's trouble. In the real, how many know in the real world, things don't get fixed up. America's not going to be a great nation. There's something called fix up America, put the flag back into something or other. Well, it's not going to happen. America stinks. It's bad, evil, nasty nation. I'm not proud of this country. I was proud of it when I read it about it in a book. But when you experience it in real life, it's just corrupt politicians and, ambitious, greedy businessmen and, pastors who sell out and stuff. That's not the nation I was thinking it was supposed to be in my head. And I'm not bawling anybody out. I'm just simply saying, hey, if that's the reality, that's not the kingdom of God. And I thought this nation was founded to be patterned after heaven so that a Christian could be free. That's what freedom means, that a Christian is free to follow God and the state won't interfere. It's not what it means. And if you think there's a little persecution now, you ain't seen nothing yet. It's going to get really severe. It's going to get really severe because those that now run the banks, that run the school system, that run the lawyers, that run everything that's going on out there, are Satanists, witchcraft people. Now you say, well, they don't know it. Well, I don't care if they know it or not. They're still doing it because they want man to live rather than to die. They don't think that dying unto Jesus is a good deal. So we're letting the Buddhists and the Hindus and the, aliens and everything. Just, we don't have any rules anymore. Everything's okay. So the world today ain't going to get fixed. I'll just tell you right now, because we turned away from God, there's no way to fix it. So stop thinking if I vote or if I become involved, I'm going to change things. You're not going to change. You don't even know what you're doing. You don't even know what right and wrong is. So you're not going to change it. Just pay attention to your own self. You're reduced down to that. Whether you're in a nice house today or in prison, I can't help you there because you didn't seek first the kingdom. You're trying to keep your nice house first and not worry about prison thing. And just give up that stuff. You seek first the kingdom. That's what's wrong with the nation. The only way Israel even got out of Egypt was they loved the onions and the leeks in Egypt. The only reason they got out of it is God forced them out. They wouldn't be ever even gotten out. Hey, come on, just leave everything and come out and be free. I'm taking you out for a nice journey through the wilderness, maybe 30, 40 years. Be real nice. you'll be with me. And the people say, like, no. And how long does it take to get to that promised land? It's probably, I don't know, 7, 8, 10, 11 days, 12 days, a couple weeks at the most. Well, okay, well, we'll go for that. We're not going that way. What way are we going? We're going to go the way that gets the sin out of your life. Oh, well, we'll stay here. We got onions and leeks here. And so Israel did not want to leave. They weren't eager to leave. Like, oh boy, this is good. This could really be fun to go out in the wilderness with God. Camping out with God. I mean, no, camping out with God is no fun at all. Be better to have little houses, get a little beer every day, little Egyptian beer. And so the people love slavery. They don't care about slavery because you have security. Everybody in America today is for security. They don't want risk. Are you hearing me? And little do you realize, if you have if you want to go down to the jail, you'll see people that are secure. That's secure. 3 squares a day or whatever, you know, might not be good food, but, you know, they don't have to, you know, not like Tom, who was here a few minutes ago. Tom has to get out and panhandle and so on and so forth and make up all these stories and stuff. You know, you just go to jail. I tell Tom, just go to jail. You get 3 squares. You know, why beg off of me every day? I don't know if somebody, don't help him out. Don't always be giving him all your money, because I don't know if he's telling me the truth when he says he's down to his last dollar, because some of you are sneaking little money to him. And you know, but he doesn't want to have 3 squares, you know. He's into freedom, walking around with his limping foot and all this stuff. He's into freedom, you know, because he's got a wife that he doesn't want to go and see. He's got children that he doesn't want to ever see. And so he doesn't want to be responsible. That's not death to self, folks. That guy chooses that kind of life because he doesn't want to go to jail or go and get a job. He doesn't want that. He likes just bumming like he is. So he's happy being miserable. Because he'd be more miserable being responsible. Hey, I've thought of that. you can think about that. You know, hey, no driver's license, no social security card, no address, no phone, no nothing, nobody bothering you, no bill collectors. I mean, nothing. Just get beat up by the police every once in a while and sleep under a bridge in cold nights and stuff like that. But basically, no responsibility. You want security? That's what Israel wanted, security. But Moses said, no, get out of here. And God had to do a lot of miracles, not to impress the Egyptians, but to get his people out. He had to do all those miracles to get his people out. The church today is in the same boat. And Jesus saw the Jewish people in his day. They weren't for dying to themselves. They were for killing him. It's amazing. They had it all upside down and backwards. Now, I'm afraid, I know none of you are going to argue with me or fight with me over this because it's in the Bible. But you also have this tendency inside yourself to care for yourself first. Take care of your physical. Physical is so important. You know, I'll worship physical. If I could just be well, healthy. Well, that's silly. That is a silly God. Or relationships. I want to be understood. I want to be appreciated. What for? I don't want that. I don't want anyone to like me. Thank God I'm getting my will on that. I don't want people to like me. That's just a pain. I'm like Tom, you know. No one likes him. Getting people to like you is you'd have to dance for them all the time. You'd have to always, you know, do something, whatever it is they want, and so on. So it's not worth it. You can't have two gods. I have one God. He likes me. We got a good deal. If I sin, he rebukes me, and I have to confess my sin. It's part of being in the relationship with him. I don't. He doesn't kill me for it. He just, you know, keep bugging me and bothering me until I get it right. Jim, still not happy, are you? What? You still want stuff. You still want things. You want everything to go your way. You want people to like you. You want health. You want money. You want, you know, wealth. You want prestige, name, reputation. No, lose it all. Let it all go. Take up a cross. A cross is kind of like the last thing in your life. You get on the cross and you're dead after that. You just hang there and pretty soon you're out. You just expire like Jesus. Father, receive my spirit. It was over. The guy ended right there. 33, he's still in good health. Vigorous guy. But they beat the tar out of him, put him on that cross. It was over. Now, all he had to do was say, "Dad, I don't want to drink that cup." If he'd have done his own will. "Not what I will." Remember, he said it wasn't my will. It just did not will that. Jesus himself as a person did not want that. He didn't want to be cut off. He didn't want to be stopped breathing and eating and being with people and walking around and so on. He didn't want that. But he said, "Not my will, but thine be done." "Dad, what is it today?" "Today, death. Death today. Here's your death." Okay, cool. And so Jesus accepted his death as the key to life, as the key to happiness. Why? Because he trusted his Father. He said, "If Father gives me the law, it must be good. If Father gives me the cross of Jesus, it must be good. If Father gives me the Holy Spirit to kill me so that I'll will his will and do his deeds, so be it." That's why the Holy Spirit came. He didn't come so that you could feel fluttery and sing happy songs and, you know, get your leg lengthened. He didn't do that. The Holy Spirit didn't come so you could speak in tongues. That's not why he came. The Holy Spirit came that you might die, so that God could live through you and the kingdom of God could come on earth and people could see what the kingdom of God is like. You'd be a testimony, a witness of another kingdom, of a greater kingdom, of a better kingdom. Now, if you still like this world, don't get into this. Stay in your own kingdom. Stay in Egypt. Stay in the world. Stay caring about your health and your wealth and your relationships and all those things. Now, listen, because you thought I said it strong so far? Wait till you hear what Jesus says. It's stronger. I was mild. Listen to it. Verse 14, chapter 14, verse 15. Actually, 25. "And there went great multitudes with Jesus, and he turned and said to them." Luke chapter 14, verse 25. Luke chapter 14, verse 25. I could have picked 10 other scriptures. I'll probably quote them anyway. Here's how it starts out in verse 25. "And there went great multitudes with him," Jesus. "And he," Jesus, "said to them, if any man come to me." Now, people were coming to him. Great multitudes were coming to him. It's church growth. You know, the super church, gateway church, whatever all the big churches, PowerPoint, you know, whatever those churches all are. These are the big ones. They're all coming to him. And here's what he said. Here's what he said. He ruined the whole program is going to be ruined in a minute here, because here's all these crowds coming to him, thousands and thousands of people. And so he announces, "Oh, by the way, I should tell you what you're getting into." "Oh, man, don't tell them. Don't tell them. They'll turn away." So Jesus said, "Come unto me. You know, I want you to come to me. But here's why you're coming. Here's why you're coming. If any man come to me and hate not his father and his mother and his brother and his sisters and his children and his own life, can't be my disciple." Disciple, all we wanted was to get out of jail free card. All we wanted to do was sin and then go to heaven someday because we believed in Jesus. So, "Oh, no. You're coming after me to be discipled, because when a disciple is fully taught, he will be exactly like the master." Well, what's the master like? Walking on water? Nah, that's just miracle stuff. No. Here's a greater miracle than that. Be like Jesus. Have no will of your own. Have no thought of your own. Never take your thoughts seriously. Do you know that most of your thoughts are vain imagination? I mean, it's vain imagination. You'll think something and you'll start worrying. "Oh, my God. Oh, geez. You know, and you'll start worrying and being anxious and being worried, and you'll begin to hate people and everything. I mean, you just can ruin your life through your thought. It's just a thought. "He did. He cheated me. You know, that guy let me down. I haven't thought of that in years. God, that, you know, that remakes me mad. Right now, I'm mad all over again." It's ever happened to you? It's happened to me. There are people that I trusted, relied on, and they let me down. Not that I've ever done that. But they let me down, and I'll never forgive them for that. I'll think of all kinds of ways to get them. And if it hadn't kept me awake all night long so I couldn't sleep, I'd still be thinking about those things. Boy, that guy had a nerve. Take $25,000 out of, you know, my hard-earned, you know, money. And look what he did. He stole it. Oh, man, I think about that. I trusted that guy. I mean, I completely trusted that guy. Just handed him the 25 and he took it, and that was the last I ever saw of him. That was my partner. He was going to teach me everything. Maybe I shouldn't have given him the money up front. How would he know I was a fool? But I did do that. I didn't do that just one time. I did that 20 times. That's so stupid. I can repeat a sin over and over again. Has anybody been foolish like me? I mean, that is so tragic. That is sad. That a person will, you know, get something and then he'll save it all up and not spend it. And then he'll finally trust somebody with it. And they'll, you know, or I put some more money into, what do they call those mutual fund guys or whatever. And then I lost it during the years when it went down. It's funny, just whenever I get in, it always goes down. Oh, it's so funny. And it's just like if I touch it, it's going to turn to dirt. It'll just go down the drain. Anybody experience that? I don't know. I just had a knack for that. My wife would always ask me, are you sure this is a good thing to do? Just no question about it. God is with this. I've thought it out. I've studied the gold market. I've studied the stocks. I've studied, you know, whatever the thing is. I've thought it out. Friends of mine are doing it, and they're just doing fine. And I lost my shirt. And you know, thank God, God loves me, because I'm still here. I'm just indicating how stupid we can be. We'll eat things we shouldn't eat. We'll invest in things we shouldn't invest in. We'll trust people we shouldn't trust. And we just, you could think, if I thought about all those things, I could make pages and pages and pages of people to hate. But it all come down to me, because they didn't make any decision. I did. I decided all those things. That guy was not guilty. I was. I shouldn't have trusted in him. Nobody ever told me to do that. I just did it. I won't explain how it all happened, because that's interesting. But it'd only be interesting to people that are curious and foolish and wanting to distract from their own wickedness. But I'll just tell you right off, I've been stupid. I've been stupid many times. And I have a feeling some of you have been stupid. I don't know. I'm just guessing. Like I'd say, there's probably about two in the second row and about five in the third row. And you know, I don't know. It's just a guess. It's just a guess. But stupid doesn't end with the pulpit. You know, stupid is, it kind of flows out. Why would you have me as a pastor if you weren't stupid? You know, I mean, this so stupid is pretty normal. The reason Jesus came was he thought that people would be sick and tired of running their own lives and be ready for another will, another law, another kingdom. So he introduced the kingdom of God. Remember his words? Here are his words, same as John the Baptist. Repent of your kingdom, your will, your running the show, your ruling your own life, your law. Repent of that. Change your mind on that. You don't know how to think. That's what that word means. Repent. Change your thinking. So you don't know how to think. You don't know how to will. You don't know how to feel. Because I, given my willing and given my thinking, I don't feel good when I look at what I've done. I would not feel good because I chose wrong in just about everything I ever did. Probably everything, but I don't want to analyze it that close. I may have made a lot of bad decisions, more than, you know, I should have. I think I made almost all bad decisions. I don't know that I made any good ones. I don't even know. I don't want to think about it, Barb. I don't want to think about that because I made a ton of bad decisions. And I don't want to start listing them because I'll get mad. I'll get upset. And I'm still doing it. That's the worst thing of it. It's not in the past. I don't ever learn. That's why Jesus came. He saw someone like me and he said, Jim, you're pathetic. Yeah. I have made a few mistakes. No, you're pathetic. I'll admit, I haven't always been wise. No, you're a fool. Well, I wouldn't put it that way. That's a little extreme. I would say I've done some foolish things. Name one that you haven't been a fool. That takes some thinking. Now, you see, most of us want to think we're wise. How many of you, now just be honest here, not to be spiritual, just be honest. How many of you think you're a little smarter than some other people? Just I'm not saying everybody, but just some other people, at least one. You know, you think, well, I'm not as stupid as him. I'm not as stupid as her. She's stupid. She doesn't even know how to wear clothes. She ought to go on a diet. You know, I mean, everybody has some thoughts like that, that you're smarter than that person. She doesn't look good in red. You know, and we just have all kinds of thoughts in our head as to what the world would be like if it would only follow our rules, our laws. How many have had some of that? You know, how many? Yeah, yeah, show of hands. Yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah, yeah, she knows. It's good. So the reason Jesus came was because he thought there might be some people who were tired of that. Some people that could see through it finally, had a little bit of wisdom. But instead, we killed Jesus. He was the one that came to give us an alternative, a way out, another kingdom, another will, another law, another way to live. I came that you might have life and have it more abundantly. Well, we killed him. That was the one guy that came and we killed him. No, we'll do it our way. It's the Frank Sinatra approach. You know, doing it my way. I've done that approach. I've done that approach. I've done that approach. I'll even do my Christian religion my way. I'll choose my own way. I like choosing. Even if I don't ever choose correctly, I still enjoy the fact that I chose. But I just don't like the consequences of it. And I feel some half of them are probably God's fault. If he'd have come through, I think I chose pretty good there, but he didn't help out. If he'd have just come through a little bit, it might have worked. And I'll even blame God. And yet God's innocent. God didn't do anything wrong. How many know that all the mistakes in your life, all the unhappiness in your life, is all due to you? But I don't want to think that. No, it was the devil, other people, even God. I'll think of everybody except me. Well, a little bit me, maybe. No, it's all you. No. Other people had a lot to do with it. And the devil, I know the devil had a lot to do with it. And if God really loved me, would not have let the devil and other people do all that, so I blame God too. Oh my gosh. Where do you blame yourself? Well, I shouldn't have trusted so much, maybe. Well, is that your big sin? You know, don't you think you made some decisions? Yeah, maybe a few. I'll admit a few. And everybody's missing it. Jesus said you can't make one decision. You don't know anything. Now, here's one right here. Hate father. That strikes a blow at most people right there. But fortunately, some people do hate their fathers. I had three of them. So, you know, you get to hate them one-third, one-third, one-third. You know, hate your father. Hate your father. And then it adds your mother. What would she do wrong? She just cooks. And women don't sin as much as men, do they? How many know that women don't sin as much as men? I mean, men sin. But women wouldn't sin if their men were better. Right? I mean, it's got to be the man. Women don't sin. If any man come to me and hate not his father and mother and wife and children and brethren and sisters, yea, and even his own life. You see, this is discipleship. Death to everything you hold dear and close and rely upon. Any warmth, anything from your background. Don't secure yourself in anything here. It's just dust. People are dust. People don't like it when I pick on Peggy because they think she's probably more innocent than I'm saying. But actually, she's more guilty than I'm saying. She's 50,000 times worse. Oh, she's horrible. It's a horrible wife. Terrible. She never did submit, ever. I don't think she ever submitted. I mean, not gladly, willingly, lovingly. I mean, no, it's not easy to get a woman to submit. Come on, a lot of you are women, you know. It's not easy. I mean, gladly and happily, you know, not just outwardly, all right, here's your food. You know, I don't mean that. I mean where you're, this is exciting to you. It's a thrill. Oh, Master, it's such a blessing to see you. I don't know. I just never felt Peggy had that attitude. So that's enough to complain about. Boy, you could complain about something right there. No, I don't. I don't care. I don't care about that. I don't care about that. I don't want to measure that. I don't want to bring that stuff up. I don't want to mention that. Why? Because I have got so many problems of my own. I don't want to start that thing of who's to blame. Right? Then it's never the other person. Remember, here's the Bible here. Take the log out of your own eye, and if you get the log out, you can see the speck in someone else's eye. Now, it never, 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 never seems that way to me. It always seems like I have the speck and they have the log. That's why Jesus said it that way, because he knew you didn't know how to think. You know, you're wrong. You're just totally wrong. I don't think so, Jesus. I don't think I have a log in my eye. It's like a telephone pole in your eye, and you're looking at people, you know, bumping into them with your big telephone pole. Imagine if I had a telephone pole here and I'd be looking at you, you know, and I'd just be knocking everybody in the head. Because I got so much sin in me, I don't have time to look at the little speck in you. So that shows there's something wrong that I'm always pointing out your sin. What am I really looking at? I'm really looking at my own sin. When I pick on her, when I pick on someone else, it's really my own sin. I just do it out of my own sin. I'm really looking at, I don't have, need to look at her little bitty one speck. I can look at my gazillion, gazillion specks in this log. Right? So that's the Bible. The Bible never makes you innocent. You are always guilty. Say it, I'm always guilty. All my unhappiness due to my own decisions, because I don't live in his kingdom. I live in my kingdom. Isn't that awful? This is awful. Because I'd like to think I've done a few good things. But Jesus doesn't think that. He does not have the same view of me as I do. We disagree. That's why he wants my death. I got his death. That was a free gift. But he wants my death. Jim, if you want to come to know me, give up yourself. Give up your will. Give up your emotions. Give up your everything. I'll do your thinking for you. I'll tell you how to feel. I'll tell you what to want. What? Well, how about if we make a bargain or a deal? Some of my thoughts, some of your thoughts. You know, a little partnership. Jesus thinks he is the total controller. He doesn't want me to add anything. Not even an opinion. Not even a little peep. Beep. He doesn't want to hear anything from me. Jim, what? I'm just going to make a suggestion. Jim, I don't have a suggestion box. I don't want to hear what you have to say. Well, I just thought you might. Jim, don't speak. Don't know anything. Listen to me. Didn't I write a bunch of words down? Go do them and then we'll talk. Oh my gosh. That would take me a lifetime to do all these words. Jim, you couldn't even do one word. You'll never get through that. There's no way. There's no way. So you need the Holy Spirit to lead you and guide you, even to read his word. You don't even know how to read the Bible. You don't know. And when you read it, you don't even know what you're looking at. Because it's calling you to die. When you read this, you should come back. The result should be like this. Oh my gosh, I willed so many wrong things. I need to will the will of God. Oh, I've felt so many wrong feelings. I need to feel what God wants me to feel, which is joy. Joy unspeakable and full of glory. Did you know that there's no time for sorrow at all? Did you know that he wants you to rejoice always? Now, I'm not talking about superficial, you know, crying with people and stuff. I'm talking about deep down inside, you are never allowed to be unhappy. I mean, that's a killer right there. What do you mean? Why? Do you know anything about this world? I mean, if it weren't for everybody else, I still have enough sins. I'm not going to be happy all the time. I'm mad at myself for what I did yesterday still. No, you're not allowed. He won't allow you. You have to check with him. Jesus, can I be mad at... No. Well, you didn't hear what I said. I didn't tell you who I was going to be mad at. I already know. No. And so, Jesus, you have to check with Jesus on everything. That's the way it is in his kingdom. You don't want that kingdom? Stay in your own kingdom. That's why he said, if any man would come to me, let him hate his father and his mother, his husband and his wife, brothers and sisters, children, even his own life, for my sake and the gospel's. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. 8 relationships. You'll notice that if you could get past these eight relationships, you'd be in the kingdom of God. Did you notice there's nobody else in there but mother and father and husband and wife and brothers and sisters and children and your own self? I mean, it's all intimate, close relationships. You get those right, you get everything right. Your problem is you can't get along with your mother and your father and your husband and your wife and your brother and your sister and your children and even your own life. There's your problem. Just get past that. It isn't other people. See, when other people bother us, that's because we're already having problems inside our family. I don't know if you heard what I said. I mean, you heard what I said, but you didn't pay attention to it. Pay close attention to it. You never have problems with other people. It isn't the Iraqis and the Iranians and the Chinese and the North Koreans and so on. We don't have any problem with anybody else. It's always our own sins. The reason we pick on all these wars and everything is not for all the reasons that are said. Those are pretexts for already predetermined agendas that have nothing to do with Iran or Iraq or anybody else. Now you can think what you want, but here's what God said. Israel, if you will stay right with me, I will stop your enemies. Those people out there are not our enemies. Those are God's tools to punish us for not repenting and coming to Him. And unless you get right with God first, you cannot conquer the smallest nation out there. A little nation can defeat you. America, just a handful of, you know, coon skin wearing people, defeated the entire British army because Britain refused to rely upon the living God. And now America has become Britain. With all our arrogance and our pride, our sophistication, our finances, and everything, we, like England thinks, we can crush anybody. Okay. So he'll raise up some small little nothing, a little horn, 13 little colonies, and he'll defeat the entire British Empire. And do you not think that God today could defeat America with a breath? A few million Mexicans coming over the border, a few Al-Qaeda operatives blowing up half of Texas. It's easy. God can wipe us out anytime He wishes. You better get right with God. Our deal is not with all of our neighbors. Our deal is always to ourselves, right? So all Jesus wants, this is not, you don't need to be economics or politics or social. This is just a religious thing, personally, just for you personally. Get right with God. The reason He got you saved was so He could sanctify you and make you holy. And to do that, you have to die. That's all. All that sanctification is not being good. It's just being dead. He doesn't want you to be good. He doesn't want you to be good. Say it. He doesn't want me to be good. Does not want you to be good. He wants you to be dead. Then if you're dead, He lives through you. And He's good. He's the only goodness. Jesus, good master. He said, none is good but God. He doesn't want you to be good. He just wants you to be dead. Jesus died. He said, I came not to do my own will, but the will of my Father who sent me. He didn't have his own will. Of course, he had one, but he never did it. He denied himself, took up his cross. What we need today in the church, what I'm having to learn, what you're having to learn, is don't feel what you feel. Don't think what you think. Don't will what you will. Get rid of your personality. Yeah, Pastor, I've taken years to build this personality up. Yeah, well, what do you got? Well, it may not be much, but so I've kind of pasted it together and scotch taped it, and you know, this is my personality. Well, it's not life, I'll tell you that. Well, no, that's true, it's not life. Well, God wants you to have life. Throw away the dung and take the gold. Stop hanging on to the bone. Drop it. The Lord's got meat for you. You just don't trust Him. And I know why you don't trust Him. It isn't because He's not trustworthy. It's because you're still trusting in something else. You're trusting in yourself. It isn't that you don't trust in God. Oh, I just don't trust God. You know, He did a few things wrong. No. That you're lying. I know what the problem is. It's you trust yourself. You are God. That's idolatry. That's idolatry. You are worshiping an idol, and it's you. It's always you. You are the idol. You know, you need to fold your hands like this and you know, just worship yourself. I worship me. You know, Because that's what you're doing. You're worshiping yourself. Get a hold of it. God's already said it. Every sin is a worship of yourself. And that's why he said, take up your cross. Take up your cross and follow me. Well, where are we going? Well, when you're dead, you won't ask that question. See, you can't ask that question. If you ask the question, you're alive. The dead men never, you can go to the graveyard and you can ask them questions. They don't respond. They never respond. Well, how's it going today? It's getting cold last night. You know, they just don't respond. They don't say anything because they're dead. All God wants is dead people. But you have to voluntarily die. And you know why I do that? Because I messed up my own kingdom. That's why I'd unless I repent, I'm not going to believe. And unless I believe, I won't obey. The only reason I obey is because I'm dead. Obedience is easy because I thought belief led to, you know, love and joy and peace and so on. It doesn't. It leads to self-death. Otherwise, no one wants to be around you. You're not fun to live with. You're not a great joy. It's like, you know, it's really been a joy being with you all these years. Y'all don't see the humor of this. It's okay. You need to talk to Jesus. He wants you dead. Don't have a feeling. Don't have a thought. Don't have a will. Only will what he wills. Hate father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children, even your own life for my sake in the gospel. Those are all my intimate relationships. Those are all the people closest to me. He's saying, yeah, that's your problem. You're living for them. You're trying to dominate and control them. You're trying to keep that little world together. That's not your source. Get into my kingdom. Repent of your kingdom. Turn away from your kingdom. Change your mind. Change your will. Change your emotions. Change your life. Unless you lose your life, for my sake in the gospel, you will never find your life. So your life is losing your life to live his life. That's a different kingdom. That's the kingdom of God coming down on earth and changing that person right there. First of all, calling you out of the world, repent, so that he can call you unto himself, establish his kingdom in you by killing you, because that's what the kingdom is. The kingdom is nothing more than your death. It isn't Jesus' death. That's only how it starts. It's his death is actually to show you how to live, which is unto the cross. That's how he lived. How he lived when he was among us was, I never did my own will. I was not down here to be served. I'm the king. But I didn't come down to be served. I came down to serve. I'm a good king. Oh, man. We don't have that idea. I don't think George Bush is living for me. I don't think he's thinking, gee, I wonder how Jim's doing today. I need to send him an IRS check or something. You know, I don't think he's thinking of me. I don't think Perry's thinking of me. I don't think any of my leaders are thinking of me. Jesus is. He's thinking of me every morning when I wake up. Jim, golly, I've been waiting up all night for you. It's good to see you. Jesus, he likes me. So he gave up his life. He's showing you how to live. That's the way it is in the kingdom where you don't ever serve yourself because the one above you serves you. Did you hear what I just said? Yes. Jesus lived for the Father's will. He didn't do his own will. Lived for the Father's will, which was always to bless us. The Father's will was not to bless the Son. The Father's will was not to bless the Father. The Father's will was to bless the children. The husband's will is to bless his wife. If he blesses his wife, he's blessed himself. Nothing makes the father happier than blessing his children, blessing his wife, blessing his, you know, all these relationships that we have. But if you intrude, if you put yourself in there, no one's going to be blessed. Nobody, you are not any good. You've ruined your families. Some of you have really mangled them because you tried to control them. You cannot control people. Has that occurred to anybody here? That you're not a good controller? You're not a good ruler. You're not a good God. You're not a good law person. You know, your will should not be done. Well, I want this, then nobody's listening to you. Nobody cares about you. Nobody wants to do anything you say. They look at you. Why do I want to do what you say? Look at you. You're a mess. You want your will to dominate this family? I learned a long time ago that Peggy would not be dominated by my will. Now, she outwardly, with great reluctance and petulance, she outwardly might do what I say, but inwardly, she was never I love to do this for Jim. She never had that attitude. She never liked that. I thought it'd be neat being married to me. Smart as I am and quick as I can make decisions and stuff, you know, be great. I mean, I could answer the smallest things. Don't buy those at $298. Get the, you know, and I'm just so quick, so fast, so clever. How many know that she didn't buy that? She didn't buy that. She never saw it. Peg, don't you realize how brilliant I am, how quick I am? You married, you know, a wonderful person here. She never saw that. I should have married somebody else that would have recognized all my talent so that I could dominate them. What's the point of even breathing around me? I know everything. I know everything about everything. I don't even have to even study it. I just know about it. And my son is like that too. You could ask David something he knows nothing about. He'll just give you an answer. It's incredible. He'll just say stuff. I said, Dave, how do you know that? I mean, who told you that? You know, it just came to him, and he'll just say it. Because, you know, in the family, he was dominated by his two sisters, and so he wanted to throw something in there, so he'd just make stuff up. He had no basis in anything. He's a great kid, but people are funny. They really trust their own kingdoms that they're building. I'm just going to tell you something. God is not into your kingdom. And that's because there's no good in it. It's all evil. Everything about your kingdom is dark. Every kingdom you've ever built with your will, with your mind, with your emotions, it's bad. It's bad. Your best thoughts, the ones that you think are great, stink. They're a stench in the nostrils of God. All your righteousness, a filthy rag. Ooh, God. Ooh, poo. What is that? That's her righteousness. Ooh, get that out of my presence. God doesn't want anything that you've ever thought, said, or done. Nothing. He doesn't want you to do anything, think anything, feel anything, or know anything. He doesn't want you to know anything. He wants to give you everything. All he wants is your death. He wants to live his life through you. He doesn't want you to have a life of your own. Isn't that amazing? What arrogance on God's part. I mean, didn't he give me a brain? Shouldn't he respect me a little bit? Shouldn't I have a little self-respect? Little God respect? Well, God says no. He says, no, I don't want to hear anything you have to say. I'm going to say something that I don't think you were noticing. I've read your laws, and I believe I could apply them correctly. God doesn't think you know anything. He thinks you have to check with him on every single deal. Seek ye my face. Every deal? I can think some things on my own. Even my wife can buy some food without checking with me. You know, you don't have to check on everything, just the big items. No, Jesus feels you can't think one thought, feel one feeling, know anything, do anything apart from him. Apart from me, you can do. That's amazing. That is an amazing. I can't believe God is saying that. Didn't you give me this body? Didn't you give me this mind? Didn't you give me my emotions? Yes. So that you could turn back and give them to me who made you. Because you don't know how to use them. Well, I'm using them quite fine. Well, let's review your life. Okay, all right, I get your point. You know, it's okay, yeah, maybe I don't. Maybe I don't know how to feel. Because I might get angry. Has anybody ever gotten angry? See, that's a feeling that's not in heaven. In heaven, you don't get angry. The anger of man does not work the righteousness of God. You don't get to have that. Well, what about worry? No, you don't have any of that either. What about, you know, there's nothing on earth that God wants to save. He's going to burn it all. The only thing he's looking for is people that he can take out of the world and kill them so that they have nothing left in this world, no stake. Hate, father, mother, husband, wife, brother, sister, children, even your own life. Even your own life. Even your own life. Kill it. Let me have it. Let me do what I want with your life. I don't know if I trust you, God. Well, who do you trust? Okay, you don't trust me. Who do you trust? I don't think other people. It must be me. That's your problem right there. There's your problem right there. You should not trust yourself. Didn't I say even your own life? Okay. All right. So, you are new people in Christ, right? When you become a Christian, you become a new man in Christ. That's what Christianity is. Every page in the New Testament is all about that. New man in Christ. Now, the first gift up there is the law. That kills your flesh. There's nothing good. Nothing good in this world. Anything you think, anything you feel, anything you want, it's all bad. Kill it, cancel it, it's no good. I just can't believe that. I think there's a few good things. What? I don't know, but there must be a few. No. It's all doomed. It's all going to burn. Everything in this world is going to burn. All the works you did, all the great things you thought, the poems, the love, the tenderness you gave, it all turned out stupid, wrong, bad, evil. You know, your love stinks to God. You can only ruin people's lives with your love. Hello! I mean, a few of you could give examples of what I'm saying is, well, I thought I spent a lot of time loving her. Yeah, well, you just ruined her. It would have been better if you'd have been dead. Let Jesus love. You don't know how to love. You don't know anything about love. Well, I did. I loved her. You ruined her. Anybody that thinks they're loving is actually ruining and destroying somebody else's life. You might as well have just gone and choked them. You didn't help them. Anything good that happens, that's God. And thank God he intervenes, because otherwise you'd have everything destroyed. You would pollute everything. You would make everything dirty in your life. Pastor, that's not fair. I've done a few good things. I know I did some good things. Well, it's not God's. I don't disagree with you. I understand what you're saying. I'm just telling you, it's not God's idea. God does not believe you. Therefore, I'm not going to believe you. You could convince me, but you're not going to convince God. And knowing from my own life, I don't believe you either. I don't believe you. I know I'm no good. I am no good. I have no good in me. No good thing dwelleth in me. The only good thing? God. The only thing that's good is heaven. Earth has nothing in it. God made it. He made it dependent on him to fill every moment, every second, everything. It's all under his dominion. He doesn't want you to have any little bitty dominion. Your only dominion is to die so his dominion can live. If you give up your life, if you forsake your life, if you yield to him, you're alive. Now that's what he made you for, not to have a personality of your own. And we're all so used to it. We've all worked for years to build up our person. And people are damaging it. Hey, what are you doing? I'm just damaging a part of your person that wasn't any good. That's the part I like. Get away from me. And we're killing one another over these personality things, and God doesn't even want your person. You're saving it to go to hell. It's just death dealing. You at your best is just a killer. You're a murderer. You just have nothing good in you. Aren't you glad you came today? I mean, this is it's a very happy, upbuilding type of message. But I'm telling you the truth. This truth will set you free. We could wait 10 more years to see how much more damage you could do. But it's better to tell you now, nothing that you do is worth anything in the eyes of God. Now, if you want to stay in this kingdom here and perish with him, or if you want to get into the kingdom of God but have no works, because a lot of your works are wood, hay, and stubble. A lot of what you've done around you, it really hadn't amounted to anything. And on your deathbed, it will occur to you that you could have lived differently. You could have had a more abundant, fuller, better life. You wasted, I mean, I don't know how many years I've wasted worrying. Is anybody else worried? You can just lay there and think of, and just keep thinking and thinking. And there's no end to it. It's not like, I'll think this thing through and then I'll go on to something else. Can never end it. Once you start worrying, if only that had happened. Yeah, what if this happens? And you can just what if and if only all the way through life and never live. I came that you might have life and have it abundantly. How? By dying. It's through death. So I'm not teaching you anything interesting today. I'm just teaching you one concept, but I'm using so many scriptures that you might think I could be right, that you'll go and check it. Jesus said when the disciple, what's he talking about? Who's a disciple? Is that a believer? No, the believer is number one, or number two up there. A disciple is number three, or I didn't number them. But number three is the obey. That's a disciple. A disciple is someone who obeys. A believer is someone that believes Jesus died. But a disciple is someone who wants to die himself so he can obey God. He's not obeying himself, he's obeying God. As a believer, I can still obey myself because I'm believing in Jesus to forgive me so he can bring me into his kingdom so the Lord can kill me because I can't kill myself. I just try as hard as I may. I don't want to kill myself. As hard as I can, I'll try to preserve myself. Just even as he's nailing the coffin, I'll stick a finger out or something in case I want to get out again. I don't want to die. That's the last thing I want to do. I'd rather kill God than die. It's exactly what you'll end up doing. It's either you or him. You either trust him or you don't. If he says, Jim, the best thing for you is if you die. Give me your life. That's all I have. No, you don't have anything. In your hands, that life is death. But in my hands, your life will be preserved. I don't know. I got to think about that. No, Jim. Thinking is not going to help you. You're not a good thinker. But as you wish, as you wish, as you desire, if that's your will, it's not mine. My will is that right now you come to me. Hand me your life. So all I want you to do is hand me your life. So what this man is handing to the Lord is his life. I give you me, these three eyes. I repent of my life, my living it. I believe in Jesus who died for me, and I obey him. So I'm going to give him myself, my life. Self, life, soul, it's all the same. I'm going to give him my life. That's what Jesus wants. This is the offering. He doesn't want any goat or bull or anything like that. Here's your offering. Here's your worship. This is your worship, to die. Everything that comes after this will be valuable. Everything. Once you're dead, God can do great and wondrous things. Now, how many are today ready? I mean, you're so overwhelmed with the good teaching that you are ready. I want to die. You don't need to give me any more scriptures and so on. I have a lot more. You don't need to. I'm ready. I don't want to live my life any longer because you're right. I've messed up my life. And I always have, and I always will, until I give it up. Now, I didn't try to persuade anybody. I'm just asking, did anybody just do it, not because of me, but just because as you heard some scriptures, the Holy Spirit just convicted you. Judy, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. Anyone else? Yes? Anyone else?
You do it all the time.
Yeah. You keep dying. Yeah, we even have songs like that. Take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to thee, and all these. There's great songs. I remember those when I was a young person, not a Christian, but I was first looking into it. And I remember singing those songs, and I liked, maybe it's a good tune or something. But I liked those words. Apparently they sunk in. Sometimes, you know, I was not trying to be a Christian. I was just trying to go on hay rides and stuff. But they sang some of those songs, and I remember that one. Take my life and, you know, and it's just like, I don't know, I sang that. And that's exactly what God wanted. And it was there all the while, but I never saw it. I never understood it. I didn't even know what it was saying. I just was singing it. But it's good to give up your life because when you lose your life, you find it. But if you keep your life, you lose it. So all God is saying, I gave you life, give it back. That's the kingdom. I gave you life, oh good, then I'm going to do what I want with it. Okay, that is one option. But you also have the option to give it to me in case you mess up. And then we go messing up, keep making excuses for ourselves. Okay, I'll get it right next time. Okay, give me one more time on this. Well, okay, I'm not ready to give it up yet. And God keeps saying, are you ready now? Not yet. He's saying, how many more lives do you want to damage, including your own? I think I've almost got it. I think I've almost got it. No, you'll never get it. You just need to die. Don't wait. Give him your life today. Say, God, I know this is true. My flesh doesn't want to, but that's what needs to die, is my flesh. Because I'll keep my worries. I'll keep my bitterness. I'll keep my envy. I'll keep my pride. I'll keep all those things. And what good are they? They're not going to build anything. You're not going to make good decisions based on fear. Anger. Bitterness, envy, jealousy. That's why God calls those sins. Why? Because they go against the heaven. Heaven, there's no envy in heaven. Because everybody has everything they want. You don't have to envy anybody. But down here, you could. And people do. Some people have more than others. So we envy them. Oh, I wish I had that. Ooh, if I just had that, I'd be happy. If I was married to her, if I was married to him, it'd be the same. It'd be exactly the same. Because you're the problem. It isn't who you're married to, it's you. The one being married. You're the one. Isn't that good news? Isn't that great? So freeing. I mean, all you have to do is just surrender. When you surrender, you're basically giving him your life. You're just rendering unto God. What it means is you're giving back what you owe. That's what you owe. When he created you, that's what you owe him. That's what the law says. And the cross is Jesus showing you how he did it. So you'd get an idea. Oh, there's another way to go about it. The way he did it. Never had his own will. Never did his own emotions. Never did his own thinking. He never had any thoughts. God, what do I do here? See, he didn't have a thought of his own. Jesus, come on, I think you know a little bit what to do. No, he wanted the Son always to please the Father. Jesus said, I always do what's pleasing to him. I always do what's pleasing to my Father. I always do his will. My meat is to do his will. I don't have a will of my own. See, this kind of preaching will not build a big church. This kind of preaching will build a little church. So I'm building a little church. And we'll be faithful in little. Could get so little that we could actually see each other, talk to each other. Little is good. You see, little is all you really have anyway. People with 1,000 member, 5,000 member, 10,000 member churches, they don't really know them. They don't really know them. Kind of sit down next to them at Starbucks down in the basement or something. You don't really know those people. So, you know, there's enough problems in this church, as small as it is. There's so many problems I can't even keep up with them. About one or two members can actually dominate your and just consume your life. Just one or two members. And you know which ones I'm talking about. They can just take up all your time. I mean, there are some members that just want all of the time. They just want all the time. They call all the time. And so you don't have any time for anybody else because it's like, take care of me, take care of me. Well, you know, I don't mind. I just have to ask Jesus, though. I'm not your slave. I'm for your benefit, but it's not for your benefit that I do it. Sometimes you need to go to Jesus yourself. It's not always to your benefit that some human being is a slave to you. If I could just control Pastor Jim, that's like controlling Robert Mowery. I mean, it ain't going to work. I remember when Robert and I used to work together for 17 and a half years, and then some people were jealous of us. They hated our relationship. They hated it. A black man and a white man working together and so on. It was powerful because we were together all the time. I mean, night and day. I was hardly married. And some people were so jealous of that, and they hated it. And so they told Robert, you know, Robert, if you'll leave Pastor Jim, this didn't happen just once or twice, a lot, we'll fix you up. Well, finally, he did leave. I won't say for that reason. But there were a handful of people that I know real well who promised him the moon. And when he made his break, within 2 or 3 months, they came to me, the same people, and said, can't control him. I said, oh, really? Did you want me to help you? Did you want me to help you? Well, you can talk to him. I can't. You stole him. You took him. You undermined. You planted evil thoughts. You poisoned the water. You did that. I could name all the people that did it. I know them. And I think that's exciting, don't you? Could destroy our ministry together. You used to have, you know, Robert and Jim and David and so on. We used to have 4 or 5 people. You probably don't even know Susan Ryan. A few of you might know her. And then there also was Chris. We had a lot of people. But it doesn't matter. The point is, you don't win that way. You don't win that way. I don't lose anything. Robert still loves me. I still love Robert. But there's all that poison that went on for the body of Christ, but it's okay. God knows. People will believe what they want to believe. And so you can get hurt by something like that. You can get hurt by that. You can get angry. You can get vengeful. I'm just thinking. I'm just saying that theoretically. Because I just, it didn't have any real impact on me at all. But I'm not going to trust anybody after that. Did you see that? You know, so people will now come and try to get close to me. I remember what happened with Robert. No way. No way. People have come, tried to get real close to me. I mean, they've really made real efforts. I remember that. Ain't going to do it. I'll stay with Jesus. Why? Because that other stuff doesn't work unless God does it. Now, if God brings Robert back or whatever, which could never happen probably, but if he did, that's fine. But I'm not going to do it. I'm not going to seek out anybody, anything. Y'all understand? Because people are treacherous. Your best friends. I mean, these are people that owe me their life, meaning, quote, quote. I mean, that I've blessed them. And here they are, undermining and jealous and envious and so on. So sometimes when you help people, they're actually envious of you and hate you and despise you and are jealous of you. Isn't that funny? So that's why Jesus said, let go of everything here. Don't serve people with any thought in mind of gaining anything. Take all the burden, give people all the blessing, let it go. Let it go. Now, I believe that. I believe that. I don't always practice it, but I believe that. And every day I go to God, God, if there's any wicked way in me, if there's anything that's not dead, if everything in me isn't joy unspeakable, if I have any emotion other than absolute joy, then strike me till it's dead. That's how I pray. If there's any will in me that wants something other than your will, destroy it and destroy everything in my path until I'm dead. It's great. It's good praying. God likes to hear that. What's that? You know, I can do anything? Well, you go a little bit easy with me. You know me, how tender I am. Like, I don't like people sticking needles in me. That's one, you know. Don't do that. All right, I won't stick a needle in you. You can make a little bargain with Jesus that way. Now, Jesus wants you dead. When you're dead, you'll be happy. As soon as you're dead to your marriage, dead to your mother and father, dead to your children, let them all go. Let them go, let them go, let them go, let them go. Let God keep them. You try to keep them, you'll destroy them. Let them go. I'm not talking about little bitty kids. Of course, you have to take care of them. I'm talking inward. I'm not talking outward. I'm talking inward. I'm not talking about divorce. I'm not talking about neglecting your children. I'm talking about inwardly let them go. They're not yours. They're gifts. They're not yours. They belong to another. So, actually, they all belong to God. The Muslim people belong to God. Everybody belongs to God. Muslim doesn't, but the people do. The Muslim people are bought by the blood of Jesus who died on that cross so they could come out of this world and come unto another one. But why would they come if they don't see any light? If they don't see that we're still alive, we're still living. So they don't see any light. Just hear a bunch of talk. Christianity is not real because all we talk about is Jesus. But we don't ever talk about our own death. We don't ever talk in such a way that our own death is what they see. They see you don't have a will of your own. You don't have a mind of your own. You're not afraid of anything. You're not after anything. You don't want anything. Why? How come? My God shall supply all my needs. Fear not, Abram. I'm your shield. I'll protect you. And your exceeding great reward. I'll give you everything. How many believe that? I'm not even working to have anything. But I'll probably get it. This guy, I don't even care about it. I'll probably just give it all away for missions or something. I'm crazy. My wife probably is glad we don't have anything. I might give it away. Because you just can't. You meet people and you fall in love and you want to help them. Are you like that? Now that's not a human. I'm not talking human. I'm talking about in the Lord. I don't even want to love any more people than I'm loving right now. I got too many. I'm already, you know. I can't take one more Chinese person or Indian or African or anything. Because they're always sucking on you. They'll want to, you know. I'm thinking of going to China. I don't know that I'm going. But if I do go to China, because I'm probably not going to go to Russia. In fact, I'm not. But if I do go to China, I think the Chinese people will try to get me too. They're trying to own me. You know, they'll try to keep me. So I don't want to love you. I just came to give you a little truth and then go. Because you fall in love with people, then you'll have to like them. And then you'll have to come back. And you'll have to spend money, take time, energy. Do y'all understand what I'm saying? You won't have a life. You won't have a life. I'm already without a life. I'm trying to get my life. I can't find it. But it isn't because I gave it to Jesus. It's just because I'm busy. I just can't. I can't keep any of my promises. I hate it. You know, I can't do anything. I can never get anything finished. I've never finished anything. Never. Everything I start, I can't finish it. Well, it's time to finish this. So this is the only thing I can finish. And so you just bump along like a zombie from day to day. But I'm trusting that God, who loves me, and I believe he does, will guide my life even if I messed it up. And he will. And he'll take all my stupid stuff and everything. He'll forgive it. That's why he came on the cross. That says mercy. And then he'll empower me through the power of the Holy Spirit, which I don't have anything to do with. That's his doing. And actually make me holy. Wow. I can't believe that. But he's going to do it by killing me. Oh. Wow. Okay. Wow. So I accept my death. Lord, let me die. Talking now psychologically. Lord, let me die. Let me no longer have a personality. No stake. No dreams. No fears. No anything. Just like a child. Children don't have a will of their own. Little children don't have a will of their own. They develop one because they live among people that have wills of their own. So pretty soon the little kid, no. You know, I don't know where they learn that. And I don't know how they get that little stance. No. They're only 1 and a half or something. What did you say? No. You know, they look, you know, I love it. They're so expressive. Where do they learn that? Because they live among willful people. And they learned that because you told them that. No. And then now they learned it. So they say it. No. They just love it. They just wanted to try that out. There's a lot of power in that one. Not going to do it. You get to bed right now. No. And that the first time they do that, it is, I'll tell you, it's a big thing for them to do it. But they can do it as though they're experts already. No. And they can get the brow and everything. Have you ever seen how the little kids can do that? It's like, where'd you learn that? Because you've told them 100 times, no, you don't touch that. Stop that. Now they pick that up. And they turn it on you, the parent that loves them, the grandparent. You know, sweetie, this is your grandmother. No. You know, they can do it. Little kids can hurt you. Hey, Peggy, when she was up with the 7th grandbaby that Cara had, she had Hannah. Hannah's, I don't know, 4, I think. So she said to Hannah something, and Hannah said, "You already said that." Because my wife is used to repeating stuff because she's like with me. She has to tell me about 10 times before I get it. And so she just, Hannah said, "You already said that." Just devastated her because this is grandmother. Just ripped her apart. You know, it's like, why, you little snot. But it's your granddaughter. So you got to have no personality. Let Jesus, before you utter a word, ask Jesus what word you should utter. Before you do a deed, ask Jesus. Before you think a thought, before you feel a feeling, before you will a will, don't do it. Ask Jesus. That's the kingdom of God. And it'll turn out good for you, good for God, good for everything. It's the way you were made. That was why he created you. Number 3, did I number them? Whatever, those circles up there. They're not numbered. But where it says I. The third I up there is impossible until you're dead. You can't obey until you're dead. If you don't obey, or if you're not dead, you're in fear. But if you're dead, you're not in fear. Because you have seen him, and fearing him, you're dead. Because of his beauty. Because you trust him. And because you love him, Now all fear is gone. Perfect love casts out fear. Now you won't sin. You won't be a self because you've met someone that loves you more than any human being. Mother, father, husband, wife, brother, sister, children, even your own life. You can't love yourself like that. There's no way you can love yourself. You can only destroy yourself. The more you are self-governed. Now, self-government is good under God rather than someone else governing you. But don't let anyone govern you except God, including you. Self-governing under God. Self-governing under God. All your family needs is you to be dead. So, I'll close with the title. Discipleship is always unto death. Discipleship is always unto death. The reason you were born was to be discipled. The reason you're discipled is to die. The reason you die so you can live. The reason you're born is to be discipled. The reason you're discipled is to die. The reason you're dying or are now mature is to live. A disciple, when he's fully taught, will be like his master. You'll be like Christ. You won't be like you. You'll be like Christ. You won't be you. You'll be Christ-like. That's the goal. That's the purpose of being created, being redeemed, is to be killed so that you can live. It's beautiful. Doesn't sound right, but who cares? It is right. So I hope you're blessed today. God wants you happy. The secret to happiness? Death. Your death, not his. Yours. Your death. And by the way, he won't kill you. He will never kill you. You must give him your life. You must turn your life over to him. You must surrender to him. He won't take it from you. He won't take it from you. He died voluntarily. No one took it from him. Remember he said that? No man taketh my life. Remember he said that? No man taketh my life. The devil's going to try to kill you. No man taketh my life. No devil takes my life. Nobody takes my life. I lay it down gladly. That's a Christian. That's a Christian. That's not just a goal for you to do in heaven. That's a goal for you to do on earth. That's what it's all about. I tell you, the minute you get to there, I don't. Maybe some of you are there. Some of you are already dead. All right, apparently not. It's a good thing we had this message then. I love you all. It's good. The sooner you get to death, the quicker you're going to live. Die to yourself, that you might live unto him. I reckon yourself dead unto sin and alive unto God. He could say, reckon yourself dead unto self. But that's what dead unto self means. Yeah, always. No more independence. No declaration of independence from God. If you're independent of God, you'll be dependent on man. If you're dependent on God, you'll be independent of all men. Liberty comes from being dependent on God and on God alone. All right, let's close in prayer. Father, we thank you for this word, for this message, for this truth. We thank you, Lord God, that discipleship always leads to my death. And so we give you the praise, Lord God. Best thing ever happened to us is that you live. That you live in order to live in us, through us, as us. In Jesus' name. Let it be so. As in heaven, so on earth. Let it be through me today. Start with me. Start with me. Let the kingdom come. Let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Amen and amen.